till they were out of danger, watching as the tarp burned itself out in a few seconds. Then everyone was able to turn their attention back to Todd. A large man, a full head taller than Todd, and easily twice as broad through the shoulders, stood motionless next to Todd, who looked sickeningly pleased with himself. Many of the wizards immediately jumped to the conclusion that Todd had created the image of a man and had gotten many of the basic dimensions wrong. The wizards from Ledchurch knew better. Ledchurch was too small a town for someone as large as Kluge to go unnoticed. Kluge was the second largest, second strongest, and second most violent person in Ledchurch. The fact that the largest, strongest, and most violent person in town was a woman named Gert had led Kluge to become the angriest person in town by a comfortable margin. Gary, who had very specifically told his trainee that non-wizards were not allowed at the banquet, asked,
"What's he doing here, Todd?"
"Anything I want,"
Todd nearly squealed.
"And only what I want. He's powerless to make a move until I make him move. I have complete control."
"So, if you don't make him move, he'll just stand there until he dies?"
Philip asked.
"He'll keep standing there after that. He's held in place by invisible force bands around several parts of his body. Even if he goes totally limp, he'll keep standing there at attention. But what fun is that?"
Todd muttered something under his breath, reached into his hat, and pulled out an object Philip had never seen. It was an oddly shaped chunk of plastic that had been dyed unconvincingly to look like metal. It had two small handles and was covered with switches, triggers, and buttons. Jeff asked,
"Is that a Nintendo Wavebird?"
"Yeah,"
Todd said.
"Good eye. They've never really made a better controller."
Todd flipped a switch and a small light glowed on the controller. He held it in both hands, his staff tucked under his arm. Todd looked at Kluge, giggled a bit, then pushed the control stick forward with his left thumb. Kluge lurched forward with his right foot, as if suddenly seized with the irresistible urge to stomp on a bug. He stood motionless for a moment, then his left foot whipped forward and stomped down with bone-jarring force. His right foot lurched forward again, followed by his left, and the cycle repeated so that he walked inexorably toward the wizards. After a few graceless steps, his trajectory curved so that he walked in a circle around Todd. Each step was a powerful stomp, as if he were trying to crush the floor with his heels. From the waist up, however, Kluge remained motionless, as if his lower half were a vehicle upon which his upper body merely rode.
"I know the walk cycle needs a lot of work," Todd said as Kluge continued to orbit him. "But you have to admit, it's a good proof of concept. This isn't all, either. I can control his arms, too."
Todd's right thumb pushed a second, smaller joystick to the left, and both of Kluge's arms whipped instantly to Kluge's left as if he were dancing the world's most aggressive hula. Todd pushed the stick to the right, and Kluge's arms followed suit. Todd rolled the stick around, and Kluge waved his arms over his head as he continued to stomp circles around Todd. Todd said,
"I can also make him turn his head."
And instantly, Kluge's head wrenched to the left, then to the right, then back and forth as he continued to flail and stomp laps around his master.
"Stop him!"
Philip yelled.
"Stop him right now!"
"I can do that too,"
Todd said. He lifted his fingers and thumbs from the controls, and Kluge came to an immediate halt. Todd looked at the dumbstruck faces of the other wizards. He turned to Jimmy and said,
"Mr. Chairman, would you like a closer look?"
Jimmy came forward, as did Philip, even though he was not invited. As they got close to the now stationary Kluge, they could see that while he stood unnaturally still, his eyes were alive, blinking and rolling around frantically in his head. Jimmy turned to Todd and asked,
"Is he awake?"
"Yes,"
Todd answered. Jimmy asked,
"Why?"
Todd snorted.
"I guess he's not tired."
"But I thought you said you have total control over him,"
Philip sputtered.
I do, Todd replied. I have total control over his motions.
But not his mind, Jimmy said.
Todd shrugged.
Okay, yeah, you got me. Yeah, I can't control his brain, but I'm pretty sure I know what he's thinking.
Philip looked up at the large man's eyes, glaring down at him, and thought,
yeah, I think I do too.
Jimmy asked,
can I talk to him?
Todd said,
knock yourself out.
Jimmy and Philip exchanged a look. Then Philip asked,
will he be able to answer?
Todd smiled.
Sure.
Jimmy and Philip exchanged another look. Then Jimmy asked,
will he answer with his words or yours?
Todd said,
he can't say anything on his own, but I can make him talk. Check this out.
Todd pressed a button, and Kluge's mouth stretched open to the very limits of what his jaw muscles could endure, and snapped shut violently, slightly out of sync with the syllables, as a recording of Todd imitating a deep, menacing voice said,
hello, world! I am Todd Slave! Isn't that great?
A wave of uncomfortable murmurs rose from the wizards. Philip and Jimmy glanced at each other, fidgeting nervously. Philip knew what he thought of Todd's handiwork, and he knew what he hoped Jimmy thought, but with Jimmy, it was always difficult to know for sure.
Maybe I should say something. Speak my mind, Philip thought. It'll reassure the others who know this is unacceptable, and maybe sway the few who are on the fence. I hope it's only a few of them who are on the fence, anyway.
Todd?
Philip said.
This is awful.
Todd looked irritated and said,
Wait, I know what you're thinking. Look, the lip sync is off, and the big dummy's moving kind of clumsily, but you have to admit the potential. I haven't even shown you all he can do yet. Here, one second, look at this.
Todd pressed some combination of buttons that went by too quickly for Philip to catch them. Kluge's arms whipped up in front of him with his palms facing forward. His mouth whipped open, and the mocking recording of Todd's voice cried,
double high five!
Philip and Jimmy glanced at each other again. Jimmy shrugged and started to oblige, but Todd lifted a finger and said,
one sec.
After a moment, the recording said,
come on, bro! Don't leave me hanging!
Kluge's eyes were closed now, as if he were trying to convince himself none of this was happening. But his mouth still followed the recording like a reluctant ventriloquist's dummy. Jimmy shook his head, then lifted his arms over his head to slap Kluge's hands. Just as his hands made contact, Kluge's right arm swung down in a blindingly fast arc and punched Jimmy in the crotch so powerfully that it lifted Jimmy off of his feet. Jimmy staggered backward, fell to the ground and rolled onto his back, doubled over in pain. Several wizards ran to his side to offer assistance. Philip strolled to his side to look at him. Jimmy looked up at Philip, and the look in his eye removed any doubt Philip had felt about Jimmy's feelings regarding Todd's macro. Philip looked at Kluge, standing frozen in his crotch-punching pose. His eyes were still closed. Philip saw a single tear rolling slowly down Kluge's cheek. Philip's eyes went down to Kluge's hand. Obviously, Todd didn't have control of the fingers, and had been unable to force Kluge to make a fist, because at least two of Kluge's fingers were badly broken.
We hope you enjoyed this free preview. To keep the story going, get the complete book today.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.